would read with us tonight. Turn with us to 2 Peter 3, and then also to the book of Jude. Second Peter 3 and the book of Jude. Starting in the 14th verse of the 3rd chapter. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. In the book of Jude, in the latter portion of the chapter, in the 20th verse, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God. Some might read this and say that there is a controversy here, but I say that there is unity. There's only one God. There's only one Spirit. There's only one true faith. And all of this has been authored, I believe, the real thing, by Jesus Christ the righteous, by God himself. But this evening, as we look at this, and what brought us to this passage of Scripture was the thought that come to us this afternoon about growing in grace. And we've heard this a lot in our lives. I believe we understand that we are to grow in grace. But my mind goes back to what we've heard about grace, and then, of course, as you hear me read or quote as much as I can sometimes about Strong's definition of grace, and I would like to read it again if you would hear this. It says, this is Strong's exhaustive concordances. You can find this. You can find where this is his definition of grace. The merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon souls, turns them to Christ, keeps them, strengthens them, increases them in Christian faith, in knowledge, in affection, and kindles them to the exercise of Christian virtues. I don't know that grace could be better described in the English language, but that this is without a doubt the working of grace that God, if you will, has let us be able to see in our own hearts and lives. Now, growing in grace, and then my mind went back also to a definition that we have heard a whole lot throughout our lives, which I don't discredit what they say or what has been said concerning this, the unmerited favor of God, which to me is true, but not very detailed, if you will, but to grow in the unmerited favor of God. If you grow in God, if we grow in Christ, it's going to be through His mercies. It's going to be, friend, if there's anything that we can say today to uplift the name of God that we could not say the other day, and it be witnessed by the Spirit and the power and the presence of God, it will have arrived at our hearts and our lives to our being by the grace of God. Even the great Apostle Paul, where that Peter touched on some of his letters, he had this testimony: I am what I am by the grace of God. As we think about this, and heaven knows I don't want to say that I have attained to some higher place than anyone, because I hope we all would be sober-minded enough to be able to say that if we are anything in God, it is by His amazing grace. That there's no way that I would even know my right hand from my left had it not been for the merciful kindness of God Himself. But for me to grow in grace and to be able to look in our lives, I could tell you this morning that I can see myself growing older in life. Can you see yourself growing older? Do you recognize the man in the mirror? I would have to say this, to be honest with you, that my body does not respond to my faults as it one time did. Because I might think that I'm going to do this or going to do that, but my body, because I'm getting older, I'm growing older, I'm not able to do physically what I one time could. Because I am growing older. I hope you can see in your lives, whether you are 9 or 90, I hope you can see even in a year's time growth in your life. Whether you're growing older, whether you're growing stronger, but you can see growth in your life.
Right.
I can tell you this, there have been some things, even of doctrine, that God has allowed me to grow in. God is going to hold the unbelievers responsible for not obeying the gospel. Amen?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And He brought me to a place in His doctrine, even as last week, about predestination. Because in my mind, just to express to you a little growth that God let me have, not anything to boast in myself, but to grow in grace. His divine influence upon our heart expressed into our lives, kindling in us, my friend, the desire to exercise that He's taught us. Listen, I one time believed this, that if God predestined a man to hell, or predestined one to heaven, then He also predestined one to hell. I don't find that in the Scriptures. I do find where He predestined souls of men to heaven, but I do not find where that He predestined souls to hell. Because if He predestined one to hell, then how could He hold a man accountable? He's God. Now you start looking into the wisdom and the knowledge and the power and the all-knowing mind of God, and we have just a little bit of gray matter. I promise you, my friend, His ways are far above heaven as above us as the heavens are from the earth. And you're never going to ever understand it all or wrap your mind around it. We peer through the lattice from time to time and look through a glass darkly. Wow. But I tell you what, from every now and then, it's a glorious thing to see. He's God. Mm-hmm. Knowing and understanding beyond any shadow of a doubt that God has numbered the hairs of our head and He knows who's going to be saved.
Yes.
And in the great mind of God, Him knowing His enemy, even as He knew the mind and heart of Pharaoh and what Pharaoh would do, left to himself, God can work all things after the counsel of His own will. Right. May we grow in the grace of God. What we would like to, by the help of God, is to get every one of us here this evening to look into this most marvelous mirror and be honest with yourself. Be as honest as you've ever been. Can you see yourself growing in grace? That's not just in doctrine, but that's in every aspect and avenue of a Christian's life. Are we growing in this grace? Grace, as we mentioned the definition, we are saved by grace through faith, by faith through grace. You can't have one without the other. It is the operation of God.
Right.
It's what God institutes, my friend, to the man that listens and obeys the gospel. It is the divine operation of God. God does the work. God sends the word. God preserves the lives, crosses the path at the time. And my friend, the next thing you know, conception is made, and there's a new creature in Christ. God done it all. Are we growing in this grace? Is there areas in our lives where that we're stronger Christian-wise than what we were even a year ago? I thought about wheat this afternoon as it matures, its roots loosen up from the earth. And my friend, that old dry husk that's been on the outside of that seed, and my friend, it begins to dry and break apart. And the most important thing of the continuance of life begins to show evident in its very creature. So are we able, my friend, by the grace of God, to lay down more of this and pick up more of Him? Are they more of the evidence of God's working? Have my friend being produced in our lives for the whole world to see? Are we striving to get more like our Master? Listen to another place in Scripture. I believe I have it marked. I do have it. It's right here. Hebrews, the 6th chapter. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of doctrines of baptism, laying on hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. So by even reading that and going on to perfection in the 6th chapter of the book of Hebrews, then I must confess, I must profess, that if I begin to know anything in God, it's going to be by His grace. There are so many, I fear, we try to grow in religious rhetoric, or we try to grow, or we'll even dig into this to prove our point. It's not about us proving our point. I want to believe this the way God wants me to believe it. I want to rightly divide it by His Spirit. Not for my flesh to be exalted or for my ideology to be, my friend, proven in a state of some man's conscience, but by the amazing grace of God, His kingdom might be furthered in the hearts of those that belong to Him.
Yes.
Why, preacher? Because God said when He left this world, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And you know what else that God, the Son, the Father, you know what else He said about the Holy Ghost? He shall teach you all things.
Yes.
So now, if I'm a child of God and I have indwelling in me the kingdom of God by the amazing grace of God, amen, then indwelling in me is the greatest teacher of all.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in the first grade, we were learning our colors. And then, my friend, we were learning our numbers and our letters. And the next thing you know, these numbers and these letters progress into sentences and words, my friend, that forms paragraphs and tells stories. So this education that we receive as an individual, we see it grow in our life. Can you see yourself growing in the grace of God? Do you see the little stories that you learned in Bible school and in Sunday school about David and Goliath? And my friend, about Moses and the children of Israel, about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel and the lion's den. Do you see God growing your faith in Him by His marvelous and matchless grace?
Are you able to see it? Can you absolutely say it's there? Undeniably and unequivocally, it exists inside my being.
Well, yeah, preacher, it's there. Well, I tell you what, my friend. People that have a Harvard education are mighty proud of where they went to school. They are people who boast themselves in things they say they understand and know, and especially where they learned them from. Understand something, please. When the Holy Ghost of heaven, this is my experience, when the Holy Ghost of heaven strengthens, establishes, and settles you on something that you are convinced by God is an eternal truth and understanding of any situation people might face, you are not ashamed of it, but you are very proud of what God's done for you. And you're not afraid to tell it. You're not, my friend, embarrassed. Well, preacher, my personality, it ain't got a thing in the world to do with your personality. It don't. God said in His Word that He took the weak and the beggarly elements to confound the mighty and the wise. So friend, I pray, I want you to look and see this grace of God that's growing in your life. Don't fall. Don't fall from your own steadfastness, as Peter wrote. Don't wrestle the Scriptures. Listen to me very closely. My puny mind and yours alike is no match for the professor of heaven. Do you believe me? Or do you think that that you know is greater than what God's able to let you know? We need to grow in the grace.
Oh, yeah.
We need to know that that we say we believe, we did not receive it of the traditions of our fathers, but that God Himself, as much as wrote it on our heart and the frontlets of our mind, why, through and by His marvelous grace. Listen on. Lord help us. He says, an account of the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our brother Paul, listen, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Now stop and think about this man. This man, who is now Paul, he used to be Saul. Think about this. That God, in the days of Saul of Tarsus's life, He knew that Saul was growing up at the feet of Gamaliel. He was aware of the multiple languages that God seemed fit for him to learn. I say this. That all of the religious rhetoric that Saul of Tarsus was exposed to was for the glory of God. I believe this. I believe that in the days and the ages of his life, my friend, that God seemed fit that every one of them things happened to him. And my friend, in that one day that he had trusted so much in it, he was able to count it as done that he might win Christ. But all along the way, God had been preparing him to be the Apostle Paul. Let me ask you something. Can you see the potter working with the clay? Do you see where that God worked in your life? Can you see where that God reached down, if you will, right down into the very earth, and He reached into the massive mounds of clay and He pulled your life out, my friend, and He picked it up when He brought it over and He placed it on His wheel and He began to work. Let me ask you something. By the amazing grace of God, can you see and identify with the potter and the clay? Can you see where that God rushed into the world and pulled you out and began to work on you? Even where you come from can reflect back to the glory of God. What He brought you out of and what He made you to be today. Do you see this? Can you see this great working of grace in your life? Then why in the world would people fall from their own steadfastness? Listen on. Heaven help us. He says, as in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. They wrestle them. Some people, I fear, wrestle the words of the gospel. I fear that some wrestle what gets preached and they hear it in their ear. I think this sometimes, that you might think along these lines. What's he trying to say? What's he trying to prove? Do you know why people wrestle with scriptures? Because of what we think we know. A wrestling match is a contest between two forces. A wrestling match, my friend, is a place of contention where that one positions itself against the other. My friend, we need to come to the place that even as Paul wrote in one place, I don't want to know nothing about you except Christ and Him crucified. If I can be settled of this, that Christ is crucified in your heart and in your life, then my friend, I believe this, that good work that He started in you, He shall also finish. But many times we want to cling to things that we say we know. Things that we say that must be like this. But it's not in the Bible. Or we have wrestled the scriptures because we took a little portion here and we took a little portion there and we took a little portion there and we established what we say we believe. Friend, dear friend, understand this. We better be what we are by the grace of God. Outside of that, we are nothing at all. Nothing. So if you can look back in your mind and you see where that God, not man, not religion, but God, reached down into the world and pulled your life up out of the miry pit, placed your life on His will, and He began to work. And His hand began to make you into something that you could have never been on your own. And in this process, they've been fiery trials.
Oh, yeah.
And in this process, they've been times when it felt like you were set up on the shelf. There may have been times in this process that, my friend, that you were dumped into the water, and my friend, that you were washed over and over. But my friend, all along the way, it's been God forming and fashioning my life. Can you see this? Well, preacher, I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. Can I see this? Have you fallen from your own steadfastness? Do you remember this? I had zealous experiences with God before I got saved. Some of you look at me like I'm crazy. I had several zealous experiences with God before I ever got saved. Why, I'd leave the house of God and I had so much zeal, I wasn't going to cuss no more, I wasn't going to do this no more, I wasn't going to do that no more, and the next thing you know, it wasn't 48 hours, I was back in the same place. Because I knew what that man was saying, what the Bible was saying, what the Spirit was saying, that there was something wrong in my life. But I did not have the knowledge of the Savior. I did not have a kingdom within me. I didn't have the power to overthrow the strong man that was living within me. But oh, bless the day that the Savior came. Bless the day that there's a stronger man than Him. There was a wrestling match. And my friend, that greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world, began to be real in my life. Are you able to look back, my friend, and see the grace of God growing you? I can promise you this. I've never met a child of God that wasn't growing. Now, I've met a lot of people who wanted to be called a child of God, but there was no growth in their lives. Oh, they were much like Saul of Tarsus. Now, they grew in knowledge and wisdom of religion, but they didn't grow in grace. Grace. That divine influence of God upon my heart, reflected in my life. How do you know, preacher? Because the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Are you growing in the grace? I believe we're getting close to somebody. Because it's getting cold, cold, cold. But don't worry. I can promise you this. God also seen this hour. And He is God right now as much as He's ever been God. And when we dismiss, He'll still be God. And He already knows the place and state of every heart that's in the house. Thus He sends His word. My friend, that we might look into this matchless mirror and see, say, and know whether or not we're growing in the grace of God. Now, without a doubt, these people that's growed in religion, they know the legalistic matters, and that's what they picked up along the way, and that's the way it's going to be, and I'll not hear nothing else. That's okay. That's okay. My mind goes back to this. Let's just turn over there for just a minute. The book of Romans in the 9th chapter. The Bible says this. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another to dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? Oh, my goodness gracious. Now, who was it? How was it that I was fitted for destruction? For me to have died and went to hell, the only thing that God would have had to do was leave me alone. But God, in His divine influence upon my heart, turned me to Christ. Let me ask you something. Do you think that Sister Karen has any influence whatsoever on the little girl that sits on the same pew? I'd say, beyond any shadow of a doubt, she has a tremendous influence upon her life. You know why? I've seen her follow her to right here. So, she has that influence upon her life. Now, friend, let me tell you something. I assure you that God cares much more about us, and it's not to belittle her love, but He cares much more about us than we have ever cared about anybody. And I assure you that God has went to extreme measures to influence our heart. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you this, friend, before God come to me, I was fitted for destruction. Mm-hmm. I had the clothes of sin all over me. Listen on to the Bible. He says, Lord, be with us. I'm going to go back to Peter. He says, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. There's a page in a Thompson Bible, and it's right after the scriptures. And it gives a little studying hints. And it says a few things along the lines there that I think are very precious. But it's a great thing in the day that a child learns to feed themselves. Amen? It's a great thing when a child learns to begin to feed themselves. But yet you've got to watch over them, or they'll put something in their mouth that they're not able to chew up and swallow. That you got to watch them, my friend, that they may try to drink something that's too hot for them. But they've learned, my friend, how to pick up the spoon and the fork and the cup, and they've learned how to put it to their mouth and open their mouth and pour it in. They've learned how to feed themselves. There are people, I fear, at times, they have learned to pick up the book and open it up and say, well, now God said this. When God may have written it down, but God had nothing to do with what was going on at the time. What do you mean, preacher? I believe this, that so many doctrines today, so many men today, they pick up the Bible and they dig through it to substantiate, if you will, their thoughts. And then they get up and they say, this is the gospel of Christ. When there's no power of God about it anywhere. They're beating the air. They're taking what they've heard in this ear and it's coming out of their mouth. They're never taking what has entered into their hearts by the Holy Ghost, made manifest to their spiritual conscience, and have a desire that somebody might eat it in their heart, mind, body, and soul and grow for the glory of God. When you grow in the grace of God, that means that God is going to put something in your heart that's going to surpass your character of your flesh. Yes. That God's going to cause you to do something, say something, be something that your flesh could have never attained to. Yes. Mm-hmm. You'll stand trembling to say, thank you, God, for saving my soul. Whether it's accepted or rejected by anybody. But because of the grace of God, that divine heavenly influence upon your heart, understanding what Christ has done for you, that God some way, somehow, come to where you was and out of the whole pit, reached right over there and got you and pulled your life out and put you on His wheel. Your heart will stand trembling, saying, thank you, God, that you come to where I was. And once those words come out of your mouth, you'll have this thought, I didn't get it said. I didn't get it accomplished. And you'll find yourself a debtor to the amazing grace of God. Peter writes, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware. Watch out. Be careful. Beware. Beware. Lest ye also, being led away with the error of wickedness. Now, preacher, don't you call me wicked. Well, I can promise you this, it's carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither need can be. No. There, therefore, we are wicked in our carnal mind. Yes. I don't care if it's religious thoughts. That's right, exactly what I just said. I do not mind. It does not matter to me or God. Even if it's religious thoughts. Why? Because of where we were at this morning. And that day many will say, Lord, Lord. Lord, Lord. He'll say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And they're going to profess at the throne of God that they've done wonderful works in His name. Oh, but when they see the last from the first meted out into the judgments of eternity, I believe they'll have to say amen. I don't believe they'll have it to say. When they see that judgment of God executed, I believe it'll go right back to the days of Aaron. My friend, when God had slew His sons, He never opened His mouth. He knew they had done wrong. and they were going through a religious ceremony. So you see, my friend, it doesn't matter even if we have religious thoughts. If it's not by the grace of God, through faith to the glory of God, they are many men that can quote this book line after line, chapter after chapter, verse after verse, and they still don't know Jesus. They still don't know the indwelling power of God. There's no evidence of the growth of grace. That this grace in this year, as it is rains on a tree, first of all, I'm still here. Second of all, I'm still seeking His face. I can profess, I've been kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. I can promise you, God's done it all. But this grace that's been revealed in me has provoked me to love my brother more. It's provoked me, I must confess, to dig. Have you found yourself reading your Bible every day? Every day? Were you doing it to say that you read? Or were you doing it because there was something on the inside of you pulling your life out of the world and into the glorious Word of God? And how profitable was it what your eyes had seen? Did it leap off the page? Did it enter into your heart? Being led away with the error of wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness. There are people who have religious habits, and they are good to have. Did you hear what I just said? And I'm not preaching out of both sides of my mouth. Religious habits are good to have. I say this. There are some people have a habit of listening to preaching. They like the old rhythm, the breath in, many words out, over and over. They like the it appeal. I believe it's like the music that Brother David played to calm Saul down. They like it. But let me ask you something. Is it penetrating that heart? Is it reaching down into your life? And do you see where that the growth of it, my friend, is now causing you to be more like God than more like the world? This keeps coming back to me, and I don't understand what's in it there, but whatever. They had a telephone problem the other day at Deerfield. It was Friday, the day we were going to have the working here at lunch, and they had telephone problems. And I went out there, and I was trying to find the problem, and I was told by everybody that was there, well, now that line leaves that house, and it goes around the backside, and it goes back there to that pedestal. And at that pedestal, then it's a 5-pair cable, and it's tapped into a 25-pair cable that takes it back to the tree. So I go back there. I get a locator, and it appears that it goes to that place. And so I went to raise the lid off that pedestal, and I could not get it off. Because it's got to slide up about 3 feet. But there was a limb of a tree over the past 20 years that grew out over top of that lid. Hadn't been nobody in there in that long. But the communications was down, and something had to be cut away to get it repaired. That sometimes we get growth in our lives that is of this world. And it'll take the sword of the Spirit to cut it away that we might really, really, really get some communications established with God. Let's go there. Listen to the Bible. This is in the book of Jude. But beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, children of God, may I ask us this question? Do you know when you're praying to God, and do you know when you're praying in the Holy Ghost? Yes. Let me tell you something. There's an eternity of a difference. There have been lots of times my knees has bent and I have said lots of words and I never talked to God. Preacher, you shouldn't say such a thing. Why would I lie to you? But there have been some times that I've got to bend my knees and my heart began to weep and I've got to talk to God through and by the Holy Ghost. It changes everything. So in this same respect of praying and praying in the Holy Ghost, let's make this applicable to this wise, because I can tell you honestly, it applies. There are times I have read, and then there are other times that I have read, and the Holy Ghost, the great teacher of God, came by and began to instruct. Ever happened to you? This is growing in the grace of God. These things that He teaches us, leads us and strengthens, establishes and settles us in, we're not ashamed of, but we're very proud. How do you know, preacher? You don't remember when you were learning your multiplication tables and the teacher would ask you what is 9 times 7 and you was glad to stand up and give the answer, or you was afraid that you didn't know it and didn't want to stand? And my friend, understand something. If you know the answer to the questions that ever come by your life and you know that it's the truth, you're not ashamed of the truth. But not even your flesh likes to put confidence into a lie. Let us run on. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So let's go back to Saul of Tarsus. And let's look at his life, growing up at the feet of Gamaliel. Without a doubt, I believe, was more than likely at Golgotha when Christ was crucified. And my friend, and seeing all of these things, understanding all of what was going on, that my friend, that God in His long-suffering and mercy, and my friend, was keeping this young man until one day He put him on the road to Damascus and struck him down with blindness. And now, he thought he's been doing the work of God all of his life. He thinks he's growing. I believe, honestly, he probably coveted the high priest of Caiaphas. So he's on his way down the road. God strikes him down. And now the mercies of God has introduced him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That would be my prayer for everyone here. That no matter what we've learned religiously, no matter how much religious indoctrination has come to us, but that the grace of God would make known the power of God alive and living inside you. How, preacher? By salvation. Listen on. Keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Here's where I need to spend about 100 years. What are you saying? I say this. Listen to me very closely, I pray. I want to try to say this, and sometimes I struggle with what I get to see in my mind and try to transform it into the words coming out of my mouth. But listen to me and pray that God would help me for just a second, church, please. They are those who say they know God, okay? And they are those that say they know God, and then they recognize others that are in the church, and they say they know God. But there's this wrestling match between in our conscience, and we never speak it, but it's there. Let me ask you this. Are you in the category? Are you the one that's wrestling with compassion, making a difference? Is it your heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved? That was Paul's. Amen. It was his desire that those religious, zealous people might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Well, in our world today, they are those who say they know Jesus but don't. They are those that say they know Jesus and do. And those that say that they know Jesus and do know Jesus, and them that say that they know Jesus and don't know Jesus, they have this subconscious, if you will, confrontation wrestling match. Which side has the compassion? That's the side that's saved. Do you see it? Does it make sense? I pray that my words could form it. But if everybody knows Jesus, then why is the confrontation? Because somebody don't. And the one that don't have the compassion. The one that don't have the patience. The ones that don't, they don't have the patience. My friend, they don't make a difference. But those that know Him, they're making the difference. How, preacher? In prayer by the Holy Ghost. Praying that God would tear down their God and move into their lives for the glory of God. Are you with me? I'm not in deep water. It's not hard to be understood. And don't rest the words. It's just the simple truths of God. Let's look at the word again. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Now keeping ourselves in His mercy, keeping ourselves in His love, looking for His mercy, and of some have compassion. I tell you what, the only ones that can have real compassion is the born again. So are they the ones that have compassion upon them who you perceive in your conscience thinking, well, they say they know God, but I don't think they know Him. Well, they say they know God, but I just don't think they know Him. Which side has compassion? Welcome to the winner of the contest. His name is Jesus. Because, my friend, unless we have the compassion upon that one who has put their eternal hope, their eternal being, their entire existence, my friend, into something that has no fruit, no spirit, no power, it ought to break our hearts, church, that they're so deceived that God might reach and turn them before it's everlasting too late. Listen on. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even, listen to this, the garment spotted by the flesh. I never seen such a day of such filth and rottenness. It's ungodly. I hate it. I'm not trying to be ugly, but I'll be glad when cold weather gets here. What do you mean, preacher? Because sadly, some run around half naked. And you know what they'll do? They'll call themselves Christians. It's pathetic. Now that's on the scale way over here. There's others that say they know God, and they never adorn humility. They never obey the gospel. They never have any place to move up in their life. There's no evidence of the growth of grace in their lives. When in the presence of God, it's sunny all the time. What do you mean, preacher? He is the light. We ought to be children of the light and walk in the light. And of some have compassion, making a difference. What difference? Need to spend a little bit more time there. What difference are we really making in the kingdom of God? What difference has our existence in this world really and truly added to the kingdom of God? Well, now, preacher, you just said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Let's go back to the clay, the pit of clay where God reached down and pulled us out. And my friend brought us and set us upon his will. His hands were on. But after a while, that his hand has made, I believe this. I believe he's going to fill it up. I put something in it that's greater than it is. And it's made a difference. Because now, when at one time held nothing but death and destruction, rot and decay, but now it's able to hold a substance of life. It's able to possess something on the inside of it, put in it by who made it what it is. Making a difference. What are you saying, preacher? Thank God for the dipper that brought me the water. Thank God for the vessel of righteousness. Thank God for the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank God for the man God that came and lived 33 and a half perfect years. My friend who never knew any sin whatsoever, who was made sin for me. Thank God for the vessel of Christ. Thank God for the vessel of the church that bore us. Let me ask you something. Is your life, by the grace of God, making a difference? How about last Sunday morning? One of the oldest one of us stood up and God filled her up. Making a difference. Why, what do you mean? Well, I remember the power she stood in. I don't know if I can tell you everything she said, but I remember the power that she stood in. So, does it make the difference? Amen. What's on the inside sure does. Making a difference. Another say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I hate the scars of sin. I hate them. I hate it with a perfect hatred. I hate it. I hate... Oh, here we go. We're going to get real close. I love you. I ain't going to hurt you. Don't be afraid. I hate the scar of divorce. I hate it. I hate it just like God said he hated it. I understand it. If there'd been a subject in the Bible that I dug after, I dug after it. I sought it out. I understand that my friend God knew all about every sin that ever would ever touch the soul of man. I know he knows about it. He's God. And divorce is a terrible thing. Going to the cemetery would be easier. You've heard me say this. But I do know this. I've got a dear brother that's been divorced and God still honors his life 3 times a week. And more than that, might I add, I get to work with him now. Well, preacher, I understand. Listen to me. Let us grow in the grace of God. Let us be what God had us to be for the glory of God. Let us cling to the cross, my friend, and not to the dross. But let us run. Listen on. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. My friend, let me ask you something. This grace that we say that God has established in our hearts, in our lives, are we able to carry it out in the days of our life? Or we just say that it's there? We just boast that we have it. But my friend, let me ask you something. Are you able to grow in it and be applicable to your life and God keep you in the process? What are you saying? For that branch to bear more fruit, it needs to be stronger. Or else, my friend, we're trying to get the glory. But it ain't about us. It's about what God's made us to be. Listen, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Wow. My goodness gracious. Now has the grace of God that bringeth salvation that hath appeared unto all men by the word of God itself, My friend, has this grace brought you to the place of salvation and has got you convinced? No, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that by the amazing grace of God, His divine influence upon my heart that turned me to Christ, that kindles in me, my friend, the very exercise of Christian virtues. My friend, do you trust and know that it's this grace that's going to present me absolutely faultless before God? How do you know that, preacher? Because I remember when He picked me out of that miry clay and He put me on His wheel and began to form and began to fashion and began to fill me up. Fiery trials. Oh my goodness, that finished product don't look a thing like what He started with. Why? Because He made it into one that was pleasing unto Himself. That means we won't please our flesh in our Christian virtues, but we'll please the one who made us to be more like Christ. Listen on. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before His presence, before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, I'm going to hurry and close. God let me. You're going to tell me. You want me to believe. You're going to convince the whole bride of Christ. And yes, He drawn me out of this miry clay. And yes, He put me on His wheel and He made me something completely different than I would have never been able to be without Him. And one of these days He's going to present me before Him and I'm going to be absolutely faultless. And I'm going to have exceeding joy. And you have this knowledge. You possess in your eternal being this complete understanding. Or if you will, you've got a glimpse of it through the lattice, or you've seen it through a glass darkly. And you have no glory to give. There is no praise to offer. There is no spoken word of gratitude to God. You don't have it. Still and quiet, ain't it? There will be many in that day. Say, Lord, Lord. There'll be many. That's in the line over here. And there are going to be many that's in the line over here. And there's not going to be any place in between. If there's anybody in this house that is able to identify the growing grace of God in your heart, it should be you. That you know that you are what you are by the grace of God. That it's been God. And not been you. It's been God. And not everybody around you. But it's been God. And you're saved and on your way to heaven. And preacher, I know I am. Where in the world is the praise that's due His name? And you know what? Struggles in my mind. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, just when we get to heaven. Is that what the Bible says? But what does it say right there? It says both now and ever, amen. This is what is a marvel to my consciousness. That they are some that sit here and you are not moved to praise. You are not moved to repent. You are not moved, my friend, to exhortation of any shape, form, or fashion. You get excited when somebody else around you get excited. You move when somebody else moves. But as far as the glory of God, by His amazing grace, my friend, down into our heart, it's never moved. That ought to scare us to death. In church of the born again, it ought to move us with compassion. making a difference. It ought to drive us to our knees, to the place that God, they are those that's gathering with us that don't know you. Well, preacher, you're not my judge. I don't want to be. But I'm glad I can witness the judgments of God. How do you know, preacher? I'd have to say I've seen them in my own heart. I've had to be able to relate to them from my own life. And God has not changed. He is God. Please, I pray this. Make your peace calling and election sure. Look back into your life and see the growth of God by the grace of God and give God the glory. Not for me, not for anybody around you, but because of what God has done in your heart. Because of what God has secured through His eternal Word, sanctioned by His Spirit, and your never-dying soul, that one of these days that you're going to stand in the presence of God faultless. Faultless. Well, preacher, I'm just not ever going to get there. You never will on your own. You don't have that ability. But I tell you what you can do by the grace of God. You can grow. You can grow. I guarantee you, you watch little man. In the next year, you won't be able to hardly recognize how much he's grown. His clothes won't even fit him anymore. He'll learn more in the first 5 years of his life than he'll learn for the rest of his life. Why? Because he's growing. Children of God, we need to be growing. Not in religious wisdom, but in the power of God by His grace. I beg you, look very closely and be sure that you're growing in grace. We'll rest in our seats. I thank the Lord for His help. I thank Him for His mercy and His grace. And I bless His name that He's been mindful of us today. And I pray that some way, somehow, that this has been a benefit to our hearts and our lives, and that we would take the Word of God that we've heard, and we would sincerely look into what God has sent to our hearts to see and to know and to understand and not wrestle the Scriptures. Oh, but I say, may they conquer our lives that we might confess we are the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ.